You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major Seven. The brothers are in the building as we prepare for All-Star Weekend festivities here in the good old city of Indianapolis. My man Jay Moore repping the Pacers. How are you, sir?
Doing well. You know, decided to, I had this one on ice for a minute, you know, so I figured this week's show would be the perfect time to debut my Pacers warm-up.
Minus the warm-up pants, but...
No, we're not. Look, if you're one of them dudes that does that, then you're doing too much. I mean, I understand being a fan of basketball.
Just for the culture, you brother, that's all.
No, that's for the... But a culture of people who need to get it together.
Oh, got it.
I don't know. You're talking to somebody who wears sweatpants every day, so.
Oh, no. I'm not against.
That is my life.
The warm-up pants.
That is my life.
When you wear the full, it's just like somebody going out and wearing the full basketball uniform.
Yeah,
just
I know, route. I get it.
Yeah.
No, we don't do that.
We're going to go play today and do some pickup games and.
Yeah, even if you
I'll be Jalen Rose today.
No, you won't.
No, you won't. Look, I remember seeing this guy on the court. Like, he had on
full.
Like, he had on a Jordan jersey, but you could tell it was like a champion jersey, but it was like some Nike shorts. So it was Bulls paraphernalia from two different, you know, manufacturing eras. And it was not. And plus, if you're going to do all that, you need not to be sorry.
True.
You know,
true.
You know, dude was throwing up mad bricks, and you know, he had on, you could tell he was a fan, you know, he had on the shoes, the shorts, and the jersey.
It's always somebody who dresses like that. It is
that
never,
can't hoop.
But then here comes, you know, and above the rim, here comes Tom Shepard in a thermal and some corduroys and some street shoes and
giving out work.
Yeah, just doing big things. So you gotta watch out for those types that don't dress the part at all.
My man Longevity, how are you, buddy?
Doing great.
Yeah.
Doing all right,
man.
How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Good to see you as always.
You as well.
My man DJ J Diff, what's happening, man?
Salutations. What's going on?
Oh, I can't call it. Everything good, Joey?
Yep.
Same old. Oh, quick. Yep. Just gonna get me up out of there, huh? Everything's good.
Everything's cop static.
All right. Good to hear.
Yes, sir. Hey, you see, Mike Epps and Shannon Sharpe got into a little spat.
First of all,
and
man,
then Shannon Sharpe was like, he was gonna pull up. Unbeknownst to him,
oh,
Indianapolis, Indiana is where Mike Epps is from. Mm.
Yeah,
so
I'm not gonna hold you. Mike Epps was very smart when he said, "I'm too old to be out here fighting," which he's right. Both of them are actually, but Mike Epps also knew, like you said, exactly where he was about to be this weekend. Yeah. And I wouldn't want
you gonna pull up on who?
I wouldn't want Unk to catch a hold of Mike Epps, though. Yeah, I don't think that's going to end too well. But they said they were going to actually have a conversation. Yeah. Unk was just mad because he was capping, saying that, you know, he had invited him onto the show and he never did.
He's a comedian.
But Mike trying to get pub for this special that he's about to drop. That's what this is about, man. He playing the system. That's
well, you know, if you're a comedian and you want to talk bad about other people, go see Shannon Sharpe.
He'll let you do it.
You know, I did y'all watch the Monique one? I just didn't care.
Like
Monique,
parts
least,
of it?
Like Mon- I watched parts of it, but it was just like, when's the last time Monique told some jokes? At least I can know. Yeah. I know when Cat Williams got her. See,
even her stand up shows, she doesn't tell jokes anymore.
Well, see, because I tried to watch the last one.
She
the
got
one
a special.
That got on Netflix,
she got a special.
And it was just like her ranting against people, and I was like, I don't watch comedy shows for you to about air your personal grievances.
Monique is interesting because some of the stuff that she says, in terms of the back channels and how she may be, you know, received or treated, some of the stuff that she says sounds believable.
Like a lot of it does.
Like, you know what, like, you see what I'm saying? Like when she talks about getting jerked or people making it hard for her to do XYZ, a lot of people come out, say it comes off as complaining, but I'm like, yeah, I could see her being blackballed on the low by some of her peers. That's not far fetched to me.
But no, she's not. But at the same time, like, she's still complaining.
Okay.
But this is the thing.
This is like, what, 5-6 years later?
Yeah. But for anybody who's a fan of the show Martin,
yeah,
like my favorite episode is called Hollywood Swinging when with Tommy Davidson was playing the character Varnell Hill.
Oh, when they go to LA?
Which is kind of a send-up of Arsenio Hall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they were like, that's what Hollywood is. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? People will say, hey, when you get out here, call me or I'm going to do this for you. And then when you get out there, they're like, that's just Hollywood talk. Mm-hmm. I fully believe that. You know, and there are people who's like, they don't get that. And when like, they think everyone, people are not of their, It's Hollywood. And plus, you know, there was that story she told about Kevin Hart. This is the only part I thought was kind of in bad taste. And she talked about how Kevin Hart, like, just gave her some money.
So, which I think is dope.
But then, like, she was, but then told a story about how, like, you know, they were going to do this production, and it didn't go through. And then you still talking crazy about this man, where, like, okay, whatever business you were supposed to do did not go through. But on a personal level, when you needed help, he looked out for you.
He cut you a check.
I mean, I think she addressed that in a decent way.
I would have not told that story at all.
Was him pretty much having the assistant caller saying that whatever was going to happen ain't going to happen. And then her having a conversation with Kevin Hart, and this being 2 years ago, and she still hasn't heard from me. Look, but he said she was going to talk to him the next day.
It gave me build him up to tear him down vibes.
Well, like, you know, like this
she
is,
gave
yeah.
she threw him a lob for the check, but then it was like, yeah, but this is what happened.
But you know, once again,
you see what I'm saying?
In Hollywood, who do you, if it comes down to it, who are they going to side with? Oprah and Tyler Perry and Will Packer or Monique?
Yeah, well, I mean,
that's so a, I mean, brainer. Y'all can be disappointed in these people, but you know, they, you know, this Hollywood is a game. It's not about friends. It's not about people being down. This is about money. That's and if you wanted to make it about something else, you talk about people's integrity. Okay, but like, don't set yourself up to be disappointed. If I ever went out to, if I had a friend in Hollywood and he said, "Yo, come see me," I'd go anywhere else but to go see him, because that's just not how the people operate out there. Everybody, it's like prison. Like, nobody gives you any. Like, if you get to prison and somebody just gives you a honey bun,
yeah.
Or soup.
As the item.
Don't just think, oh, they trying to be cool. Nah. No, you're going to have to pay for that honey bun or them soup some way
it's
or another.
Aryan interest.
So that's how Hollywood
ten
is.
Bucks.
And if
ten
you, bucks. And if you have that mentality, and this, it could extend to the record business, whatever, anything in entertainment, don't expect people to do anything for you without you without some get back. And if you don't understand the get back, then don't get involved.
Go look at it.
But isn't the whole thing with Monique, like, the people saying that she's hard to work with?
Mm-hmm.
Does she not come across like she's really hard to work with?
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't a shot at Monique, because I really don't have any skin in the game. And I don't really care. But, like, I watched part of this and I'm just like, okay, complaint. And there's definitely some validity there to your point.
I think so.
But I'm like, wow, you really do seem like you're hard to work with.
Yeah. No,
I'm pretty sure she's probably telling the truth, a lot of truths, and a lot of fabricated things, maybe a little bit, because I seen when she had to sit down with Steve Harvey.
Yeah.
And Steve Harvey was like, you know, I kind of wanted to help you out, but I got to get out here and make this money, so I can't
look
help.
At that arm. Steve Harvey impression.
He was shucking and jiving, pretty much like, I couldn't help you because I got to eat.
Yeah.
I got to eat my soups and my oatmeal and my
honey buns.
It just seems like she missed the whole. It's one of the things that I tell younger artists too. It's like the most important thing. Yes, you have to be talented. You have to know the right people. But to me, the most important piece in growing anything you're doing is simply being likable.
Yeah.
And if you are not likable by the people that you're around, they are not going to extend anything to you, and they're not going to want to mess with you because you're not likable. Who wants to be around somebody who isn't likable? And I don't know if Monique is or isn't. I don't know enough about her, and I'm not trying to, you know, give her negative.
She's going at the wrong people to be.
But it doesn't seem like she's very likable.
Yeah. But Lone, to your point about the energy, negative energy, or people that are not likable, I don't know what clip it was on Instagram, but I saw it was a young lady that said she had a session with J. Cole, and J. Cole walked in, sat down, and, you know, just was chilling, listening to what was playing in the room. And he just got up and left. And they said, they asked him why he left when he went to the other room, that the vibe was bad, the energy was bad.
Mm.
And he just walked out.
Right.
So we've all dealt with people on both sides. We've dealt with artists and creatives that are so much fun to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other ones that, to your point, that are like pulling teeth, it's not worth it. It's a waste of time, a waste of energy.
It's a self-awareness thing. I understand my own aura sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's just what it is. You just have to be self-aware. Like, I don't know. But no, I'm wrong. I don't know.
Look, all I know is, if I could give any advice to anybody, this doesn't even have to extend to the entertainment business, because I've had some dealings recently with some people who clearly did not understand the room that they were in, and they did not understand who they were talking to.
Right.
Is that manners will take you where money won't.
Oh,
that's number one. And if you don't know who you're talking to, keep your mouth shut, because I won't say any names, but I literally had somebody say to me and another DJ, you know, we asked him to do something specific regarding equipment, you know, this, we say, hey, this is expensive equipment. You can't, you got to do the right thing here. Instead of just complying mm-hmm. with his OGs, very much OGs, he decided to say, I got money. Which is, you got to understand, there. You say things like that on the street, mm-hmm. you wind up with a busted eye socket. You right. know, but luckily, you know, he was speaking to two people who had things to lose.
Yeah.
So, but you know, when you don't know who you're talking to and you say certain things,
yeah.
you've got to understand that people are going to carry that with them. And then when they ask about you, they're going to be like, oh, this is how he acts.
He got money, yeah. though.
He got
you
money.
Know? And the thing is, when I know you don't got money, you certainly shouldn't say, I got money.
Yeah, same thing. We've all had people talk behind our back. Mm-hmm. And then the person told us. This is because it's like, I'm cool that's with it. All these people.
That's it.
You know, it's just like.
That's it. It's going to come back around.
It's happened multiple times.
It's going like, to come back all around.
Right, man. And usually it's on some just envious type stuff anyways, but it's what it is.
You know, so young DJs, respect your DJ OGs. You understand that, you know, just when they
nice.
Tell you.
Just
they,
be nice.
Yeah. And when you, like I said.
I got money.
You got to have your manners together and understand that who you're talking to and who they know, who they could say, tell them what you said.
There was a time where I had business owners that would text me that own venues and be like, is this person worthwhile?
Oh, ask because of your credibility yes. with them?
They yeah. used to text yeah. me like, is this person worthwhile to yeah. potentially give
do
this?
Do business with.
Yeah. And I would be like, yeah. I'd be like, yeah, nah. It's just
yeah. This person's here.
I've been in that.
Nobody
the
else. Nobody knows
across the city now.
Yeah,
it's because like, of this one interaction.
Mm, see, and that's unfortunate. But you know, and then you know, nobody should be defined by their worst moment, as we always say. But
no,
at the same,
no, they shouldn't.
But at the same time, you've got to.
If you give someone
to learn and do better.
If you get the one moment, I agree with that comment 100%. But enough moments will for somebody sure. will show you who they are if you give yeah, them enough time.
For sure.
If you're consistently a bad person, that's just who you are.
I never forget there was a time me and Terry were in the Vogue just out of, I don't know what show it was. Maybe it was a Danny Brown show or something.
Yeah.
And we were just chilling. And this dude walked in being super Hollywood.
Oh, for real?
With like his manager or something.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
And it was just kind of like, all right, man. Like he didn't know who we were at all. And this kind of like how he was talking. Not that we were anybody, you know, or anything like that, but we were out here doing things. And it was just kind
of a lot
like,
of things, actually.
And it was just kind of like, all right, man.
Yeah. Have fun.
Yep. You and your manager.
Good for you. Like
you and your
like,
manager keep walking around.
It's like his whole purpose was like trying to get in front of the right people and he just kind of like dismissed us. It was just one of those things. I don't know.
You never know who you're gonna need, brother. You never know who you're gonna need.
Same people you see up on the way up are the same people you see on the way down.
Mm-hmm. All right, man, let's go ahead and jump into.
No, I wasn't scaring the hoes. It was a long time
ago. That was a while ago. Which is still one of my favorite names for a group.
This was like back in like, I think it was the Black Milk when he was maybe or no. I know it was when Danny Brown was dressed in the Tigger.
Yeah, he had on a Tigger outfit.
Whatever that was. Like 2013. I want to say
Das Racist might have been with him.
That's right.
Who?
Yeah.
It was a group called Das Racist.
It's a great name. Das Racist.
Das Racist?
Yeah.
Das Racist.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was like Indian dude. And then, yeah.
So they just was going to roll with that theme and all the records and stuff reflected that? Is that what it was?
Or? It's like them calling it out, kind
of. Oh, I got it.
It's just, it was very comedic, actually.
Mm-hmm. I see.
They had a couple records.
Yeah.
All right. Dig it. Let's pivot here. Did you guys see the here are the two records from Beyonce's Country effort?
No.
Yep.
I did.
It made me think about when we talked about Drake and his whatever you call that album. What was the name of the album? The Calypso music
Calypso. Or whatever. No.
The house attempt or whatever it was.
Beyonce did the same thing.
She did.
She just did it right.
Yeah.
She did do it right. But what I'm asking is the genre hopping. I mean Beyonce going from house to country, Drake doing house back to hip hop. You know, sometimes we talk about the culture vulture thing or whatever, but I feel like it's just creative expression at this point is becoming way more acceptable.
They're pop artists at the end of the day, but Beyonce has some meat in the game when it comes to country. She's from Houston, Texas.
That's a
good
point.
So her cultural upbringing has a lot to do with country style stuff.
Okay.
Like the cowboy, the rodeo, things like that.
So that's more authentic.
It's more authentic. I don't know musically if she's always been up on country. I don't know that much about her. But I think it's more believable than somebody just jumping into multiple cultures doing what they do just because it sounds good.
Well, what do you got? Go ahead, Lone. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, she's not, to me, I view this a little bit different than like I would a Post Malone, because right. Post Malone,
that's what I'm talking about.
Post Malone jumped in, capitalized on it, and then jumped out. Miley Cyrus jumped into it,
right.
Then said hip hop is horrible, and then left it after yeah. the fact, you know, or. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, this is just Beyonce doing a couple country records, I guess. And yeah. then
well, she got a full release
album.
Coming out.
Yeah, it's going to be a whole album.
Is it supposed to be a whole album? Is that what they're saying? Or is that just what the Harmonies were?
Yeah, because the...
Or is it going to be all country?
From what I saw, Act 2 is supposed to be country-based. Now, I could be wrong. Y'all correct me in the chat if I'm wrong, but...
It might explain why she keeps wearing all these cowboy hats.
I mean, but once again, she's from Houston, where
right.
that doesn't sound crazy.
Yeah,
I like... Lone, I like your breakdown. That makes more sense. That yeah. I like your breakdown.
Yeah, I think if like she was legitimately came out and she said, oh, I'm just trying to jump into country real quick because I want to get some country fans. I don't think that's what she's doing.
Right.
Right. I think she's legitimately trying to make a country album because she wants to make a country album. And then she's probably going to go back and make more of the same type of stuff that she was doing this before.
Jay Moore, where are you on it being, you know, especially when you get superstars, megastars doing that? Do you think it is becoming more acceptable, or is it just because of what Terry said? It's just because it's a pop star doing it.
I think it's because it's a pop star doing it, and a pop star is going to gravitate to and do music that they feel will be popular.
Right.
Because that's what pop music, I don't know, when they categorize it as something else.
Yeah.
And say it's just a style of music that's never made sense to me. Nah, so
it's whatever's popular.
You know.
Right.
I don't know, I'm not particularly interested in it. I listen to the records and I guess, you know, I don't know if they're good country records. They weren't records that I really wanted to revisit. But once again, I understand that Beyonce has a real fan base that will follow her wherever she goes.
Yeah, I think there's just nuance involved in this type of conversation, I think, is the important piece.
Right.
Because I can see, I mean, she is technically, if we're just going to look at it black and white, she is technically doing the same thing that what we say culture vultures do.
That's why I posed the question.
But I think it's deeper than that.
Right.
That's the reason why I said that it can be, she could still be being true to herself because of her upbringing and where she's from.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's part of their culture at the end of the day.
And at the end of the day, I don't have any issue with Miley Cyrus making a hip hop album and then making a pop album and then making a hip hop album and then making, you know, like, I don't have any issue with that.
I think the only issue with me with what she did was doing it, gaining all those fans and popularity and selling out arenas, and then deciding to come back and be like, well, I don't really like hip hop like that anymore.
Then
trying to jump back over when it didn't work.
Exactly. No, that's exactly what I was getting
at. That's the part
that's what
bull.
I'm getting at. Is just like, she was literally using it for like, all right, let me see if this works. I'm going to do this over here. Like, I don't really see Beyonce caring either way if this works or not.
Nah, right.
You know what I mean? I think she's doing it. Now, maybe I'm wrong. And I think there's place for that conversation to be had, but I see that there's a little bit deeper of a nuance involved in these particular types of artists that we're talking about.
Right.
And there is something to be said too about a white artist doing this to a black culture versus a Beyonce doing this to a country culture, which we can say is a white culture, but country historically is derived from black.
I mean,
black
Ray people. Charles, one of his big breakthroughs was a country album.
Right.
You know, but this is where it's going to be interesting, because, you know, when a white artist, you know, does R&B, or like if it's a Sam Smith, he jumps in and he gets Stay With Me. That gets played.
Dope record.
On Urban AC Radio. Get Mary J. Blige to come jump on it. We embrace when people want to, you know, be a part of our culture. You know, even with Post Malone at first, that White Iverson, that was on Urban Radio.
Facts.
You know, it'll be interesting to see what traditional country radio does with these Beyonce records.
Well, we already got an issue with that.
I mean, I saw
earlier today, or was it yesterday? I don't know. Between yesterday and today, someone had called a country radio station and asked them to play Beyonce's new record. And they responded back, we don't play Beyonce music here on our radio station. Mm. So this is where we're at already with it.
I got another topic that's going to play into that, but that's a very good point, Terry. It's already starting to cause a little ripple.
I'm but just it saying, did like, the same thing when Lil Nas X had Old Town Road. He had to enlist Billy Ray Cyrus to get on there in order for them to start playing it on the radio stations.
Well, I mean, and so like that's the interesting nuance, because they didn't wait for, you know, when Sam Smith got his song on the radio, he added Mary J. Blige later.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and I remember they sent the NSYNC record Gone.
Gone, yeah. Gone was going.
And Gone wound up on, in Quiet
it was Storm. On 106 point?
It wound up in
Quiet Storm. 106. It was on 106 in Park. That's what I meant to
and
say.
And it wound up in TLC's rotation. Mm-hmm. Or not TLC, but yeah, it wound up in the Quiet Storm's rotation.
Yeah.
Like, if it's good and it works, then and for the format, then we mess with it. But, like, if this is a country record, it's getting, and people like it, and they're like, nah, but we just don't play Beyonce records. Because, honestly, the program director I had at the time could have been like, we don't play NSYNC records.
Mm-hmm.
But the door doesn't swing both ways in that way.
No, it never has, unfortunately.
You know, I remember even when you can even take it back, like, people think about what BET is and modern BET. I remember they would play Phil Collins, they would play the Pet Shop Boys, they would play Culture Club. Anything that was that slapped would get played on Video Soul. You know, we just didn't. They didn't. The first time they played New Kids on the Block, they have a separate video for their very first song that only got played on BET.
Please don't go, girl.
Please, there are two versions of that video. Mm-hmm. There's a BET version, and then once they crossed over, there's one that they put on other channels. I can't even say MTV.
MTV, VH1.
Because MTV hated the New Kids on the Block. Mm. That's a story for another time. But
it's because that's back when they was more on their rock and roll tip.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they there's always been that nuance of, like, where do we play this, even if our audience likes it and wants it? Because this is not who we are. And it's like, okay, we'll see how that works out for you.
Well, this would be fun. Yeah. Go ahead, Lone. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, like, even I remember back in the Bringing Down the Band days, like, it didn't matter who the artist was. If the music was dope and it fit within, it doesn't matter if it's Vanilla Ice dropping a dope record or if it's Billy Ray Cyrus dropping raps that we didn't know we had. Like, we're going to share it because that's where it goes. So,
good music on good.
I probably wasn't going to share it.
I mean, to be honest,
Billy Ray Cyrus just had flows.
I mean, to be honest, I probably wouldn't either. But if it was dope, I guess is the point.
Yeah, if it's dope,
that was literally the point of it was like, if it's dope, cool. Mm-hmm. We distribute dopeness. We play the dope stuff. It doesn't matter what it is.
Right.
It doesn't matter who you are. But yeah, I get the politics involved. But
politics is usual. Now, do you guys remember the conversation we had about the box set? With the acapellas and
yeah,
you remember that stuff? Mm-hmm. You're talking about that. So I just got a question. I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm not going to reference anything because I think it's two sides to it. Right. How do we feel about the production company / estate collaborations that enable unreleased music to come out by some of the OGs and some of the legends? Because some people will say it's not necessary. Like, just let the OG be the OG and just go through some back catalog or whatever. Some people as fans will say, we would love to hear new music. Like, we would love to hear unreleased music from, you know, legendary artists. Dilla? Well, you can say Dilla if you want. Yeah. But what do you think about that, man? Because I could see from a fan's perspective, new Dilla? Hey.
It's not about the fan's perspective, though.
That's why I'm just throwing it out there. I'm asking,
you know, it's not about the fan's perspective, because if the fans want everything, you know what I mean? Okay. But what does the artist want? Well, we don't know, because the artist has passed away, you know, and sometimes we don't know if even family members and even estates have the artist's best interest at heart. So I don't know. It's a tricky one.
Because I see what you're saying on the back end with the...
And it also depends on the artist. Is it an artist that has already released a ton of music, that had a bunch of music that was slated to release? And like, for example, I'm not interested in hearing any more Tucked Away Dilla stuff.
Okay.
I'm not interested in hearing any more Tucked Away Mac Miller stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really
other than the one with Madlib.
I ain't gonna lie, I want to hear that long.
I'm personally not interested in hearing that because they
he made
said
it when he was alive.
He did, obviously. He made it all.
Well, I mean, it was already. Well, what I mean by that is they actually recorded it and just never put it out.
But they were not intending to release anything intentionally.
Okay.
So, same with Nipsey. Like, I don't know. It's one thing if it's within a certain period of time, but when it comes out way later and it's like a part of an official release.
Uh-huh.
Me personally,
I am not interested. Okay,
I'm not interested.
It's still, to me, it depends on what it is. Like, a few years back, they released a Marvin Gaye album that he actually was going to release,
mm-hmm.
but didn't do it because of the time, so to speak. So it would have caused trouble with maybe his record label or his fans if he had released it back then because of political reasons.
Right,
mm-hmm. They ended up releasing it like within the last few years. And it was something that he had already finished and accomplished before he passed away.
I have no issues with that.
I think things like that,
Yeah.
It's cool to let it go because he's already familiar with how it sounded. They didn't add or tweak anything. They might have made it sound a little better, but it's the it's the essence of the album when it came out.
Yeah.
That's the reason why I'm cool with if the Mac Miller and Madlib joint, if that comes out, I'm good with that. If people are just hopping on beats and stuff and he didn't even know you, he's talking about like Dilla,
right.
Essentially. If you weren't one of Soulquarians or anything like that, then I'm probably not feeling that.
Yeah, I guess it is more nuanced. And I think to your point, it depends on the story behind it. And it depends on like everything involved. The Mac, if I learn more about this Mac Miller and Madlib thing, and are they actually putting it out? I didn't think they were going to.
I just heard rumors. I heard rumors that it exists. Yeah. And
I knew that it exists. You know,
they were thinking about
possibly. But I also heard it like, nah, it's like Madlib. I'm pretty sure it was Madlib said, nah, it's not coming out.
It's not coming out.
Because it was just, they just made some records. But, you know, I don't know. I think as long as it just has to be tasteful. It just has to be tasteful. That's the only thing. And a lot of people don't understand what that means. And I think that's a struggle sometimes. So, especially in the music industry.
What you think, Jay?
It's hard because I've enjoyed some posthumous releases, you know.
Sometimes they get it right.
You know, or songs rather. Maybe not full releases. After Machiavelli, which was finished before Pac passed.
Right.
I really don't have, I like a couple records here and there. But by and large, I didn't like anything that came out after he died that was put together without any of his input.
I'll take Are You Still Down?
No, not me.
I'm going to take some of that because it's some records.
There's some joints on there.
I'm going to take Are You Still, not the whole thing, but I'm going to take some records off Are You Still
Down.
And
then the Outlaws album, there's some joints on there.
Oh, Still I Rise joint. Yeah.
But I see where you're going, though. I see where you're going.
You know, but, you know, I and then, like, I try to revisit, like, the, you know, the, it was what, the Biggie Duets record.
Now that.
And, yeah, that wasn't it.
That
then,
wasn't it.
And then Born Again, I was like.
Both of those are not good.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah.
Not good at all.
Have not aged well. Because honestly, Biggie was a guest on, like, he didn't have a whole bunch of extra stuff just laying around like Pac did. Pac had whole albums recorded that we never saw, but they weren't put out in the same form in which he had intended.
Right.
You know, they were just kind of slapdash thrown together. And I know they had to take some stuff and not use it because he was still talking crazy about people.
Right.
You know, and they didn't want any of those bad feelings to be out there after he died. But I just am not interested. I mean, like, it'd be one thing if it was like Dilla beat tapes. I know those were floating around on the internet. And maybe if you made an official release to where it's just not me with a bunch of bootlegs. Mm-hmm. And there were things that were never intentionally, and you put those out, okay, because I have enjoyed those to a certain extent,
sure.
And I'd love to be able to stream them and listen to them, but I don't want all of a sudden for you to have, you know, DaBaby rhyming over J Dilla beats. But I wouldn't feel that same way if Common, who they were roommates at one point in California,
good point.
You know, rapped over something that he had done.
Yeah,
so once again, that's where we talk about nuance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, just don't let, you know, Sweetie or Coi Leray or any of these new rappers say, yeah, let's just give them a J Dilla beat for visibility. And J Dilla would have never worked with any of these people. Yeah. You know, J Dilla worked with a core group of people. You couldn't. I mean, I feel like there were a situation where probably more people wanted beats from him.
Right.
That couldn't get them.
I mean, he had beat tapes out there. He had a lot of beat
exactly
tapes.
Beat tapes out there.
But, you know, I, you know,
but a lot of people, you know, like they pray at the altar of J Dilla now after he's dead.
They didn't purchase those beats when he was sending them tapes out.
Yeah.
You know, now it's the end thing, or it's the hip hop thing now to be hip to J Dilla. Whereas, you know what I'm saying, it wasn't so when he was alive.
For sure. I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yes.
So now for some credibility, you'll be like, I'm gonna get a J Dilla beat.
And this was happening like 10 years ago, like 10, 15 years ago. I mean, this is not really a super new thing, but, you know, if it happened now, I would just kind of even look at it even weirder. I don't know.
Like, I mean, I think
it's been 15 years.
I was about to say, you make a very good
20
point.
Years almost.
Almost,
you
yeah.
make a good point when you talk about the time lapse from when they've passed. As it continues to age, it gets worse in terms of, I guess, not worse, but it's more uncomfortable on how it's going to hit because it just
gets corny.
Okay, I'll take that.
And a lot of these beats that he had on these beat tapes, because I've heard them, I have a lot of these, and I've had them for 2 decades.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were demos.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So are they taking the demos and looping the demos? Like, come on, man. Like, I don't know. I know what it's like to have beat tapes and have demos.
Somebody reinterpolating the demo or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just
that ain't gonna hit the same.
Nah. It's like you have to be super tasteful with it. I think that's my only thing. It's like
taste
and people around you. Like,
yeah.
And not everybody that's around you is worth. Look, my mother means well, and I know she loves me. But would I put my mother in charge of my catalog to distribute it after I pass away? Probably not.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I would put it for you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
You take it. I know you're not going to do me bad.
Exactly. You
know
I'm going to take care of you. Yeah. So, for sure.
There's always the thing where I'm like, you know, if this is going to people's families, their kids, then who am I to hate on it? But at the same time, just from knowing artists and the argument that you just made,
legacy matters.
You know,
it does.
You just can't, for lack of a better term, whore out what I made when I was alive to anybody just so you can get a little bit of money over here. Because, you know, once again, Jay Dilla's legacy is more to us, the fans, than what it's probably ever generated to him monetarily and his family.
Mm, I like that.
So
the balance, taste, do it with taste. Please do it with taste if you're going to do something like that. That's all I say.
But that's what, you know, because that's where, you know, with the whole Biggie duets, it wasn't even that the music was particularly bad. I just thought it was
it
was distasteful at this point to hear these records. You know, and first
it came off corny. Like Terry used corny.
Biggie duets. When it came out, I wanted to hear it. I ain't gonna lie.
I did too.
And then, but as time went on, and you start losing these artists and hearing what they're doing to the music after they pass, you're like, man, I don't really sound right.
It's because we're having legacy talks now, and this is a part of his legacy to some degree. Now, granted, we don't really factor that into the Biggie albums.
No,
but it still is a part of it. And
you know, because once you hear it, and you're like, first of all, it got to the point where it was like, okay, I'd heard everything Big had done,
right,
whether it be a B-side, you know, something that wasn't supposed to be released that they had cleaned up. And at this point, like, now I'm hearing you take verses from songs I really, really liked and turning them into songs that I don't like at all.
Just to be with this artist.
Or in groups that weren't even out when he was alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's especially if you're talking about somebody, if we're going to use Jay Dillon, somebody mentioned Common earlier. Like, if there's beats that we haven't heard, we'll just say, because he's had tapes floating around for years. But let's say there's a stash that we just haven't heard, right?
That Common has,
or Busta Rhymes is going to jump on.
Right. Like, I remember there was supposed to be a project called Diligence. And I think part of it came out.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, if you got beats like that and Common is like, I mean, or Busta's like, yo, let me take them. That was my boy. We're going to do about 6 or 8 and let's just put it out. I'm all for it. Come on with it.
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah, that's different. You know what I'm saying? Like, that works, but I'm with you on the taste.
Or like
part.
When Erykah Badu had some Dilla production on her albums, but she worked with Dilla.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, man, it's, I think the phrase is, like you said, long intention and just tastefulness, man, if you're going to do it.
Because not everybody out here has taste, man.
No, you preaching to the choir.
You know, like,
you got to tell me.
It's just a lot of corniness.
Because everybody's intentions are good.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes it's about that bread. And when you're talking legacy, you can take a legacy hit easy. We've seen it happen.
Yeah.
So, all right, man, we'll see. Can we shout out our good old partners?
Why not?
Like Beyonce would say. Our partners.
Partners.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indie CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
I did some foreshadowing earlier because we mentioned Beyonce and good old country music. And I saw this article from T-Pain where he says he has experienced racism working on country music. Now, I know T-Pain is T-Pain is talented. Like, I'm not shocked that he can write country records. Like, that boy good. Like, it's not about that. But he actually said, I done wrote a lot of country songs, but I stopped taking credit for it because as cool as it is to see your name in those credits and ish like that, the racism that comes after it is just like, I'll just take the check. Don't put me on that ish. I'll just take the check, bro. Never mind. And then he also says, I wrote a lot of country music for huge country artists that would rather not have it known that I write for them.
Ghostwriter. I mean, that exists in hip hop, man. Get your money.
But what do y'all think about? It kind of goes to what you talked about with the people where we don't play Beyonce. I think you said somebody said that we don't play that. You don't want T-Pain as a writer for one of your writing credits? Shocked? Not really, but I just know T-Pain is, he seems like he's just a likable dude, and he's super talented, got a great pen, everybody knows him.
When he said it, he probably was smiling while he was having that conversation.
He was. I saw the video.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know, man. What you think?
I mean, he laughed. He was like, you know, he did the T-Pain laugh. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I mean, he made it evident, though. I'm still getting the bag. I'm taking the check, but
I'd like to know, and I know just because of political connection, you still want to get these checks. I was like, look, let's put something on this. Who are the people who would take your records?
That's a good
point. Didn't want to give you credit, not in the credit. You still got your money, but for whatever reason, they didn't want you associated with a good song. Like, if we're still doing that in 2024, which I guess isn't, like, if you worried about perception and your fans are the same people who were shooting Bud Lights 6 months ago, then I guess I kind of get it.
Yeah,
but right. At the same time, it's like, is this really what we're doing still?
It's kind of weird to think about it, that he was writing songs for people that, like, a legit ghostwriter. I don't know. It's kind of weird. I don't know. It's kind of weird to me.
Well, shout out to T-Pain for out here telling the truth, you know.
And if that really is the truth, that's sad.
That's something I would expect somebody to say, that we went through this X amount of years ago. This is current. Like, this is an article. This is current. And this type of thing that's still happening, I don't know.
It speaks to, I mean, I'm not shocked at all. I mean, it speaks to the United States of America. Mm-hmm. It does. It speaks to the United States of America. It speaks to literally the race divide. It speaks to our political divide, you know, and the climate of everything. You know, I absolutely would understand why T-Pain would not want to even deal with it anyways.
Yeah.
You know, cool. Just let me get my money.
Yeah.
Here is this song.
Yep.
You know what
keep
I mean?
It coming.
And we don't have to talk. We don't have to do anything. We just keep it on the low.
Yeah.
And I make sure I get paid.
Yeah, because you're always going to catch, look, this is, you know, people be like, well, I don't think America's a racist country. It's because they look at it from, you know, an individualist standpoint, and there's always outliers.
Yeah.
But the same people that don't consider America a racist country just happen to fall in line with this entire genre in general. Not everybody. But most people.
Yeah,
it's the most part.
Yeah, so I mean, I just, you know.
People in those areas, they don't witness racism on a daily basis. That's why they don't think it exists.
And they think it's individual.
It's individual. Yeah. They think, well, I've never burned a cross. And,
I like black people.
I'm kind of the black fellow at work. You know, like, in their mind, that means everything's okay.
I watch sports.
We like sports and we don't care who knows.
Football, tennis, hockey.
You know, but then you see when they hear Lift Every Voice and Sing at the Super Bowl, they're like,
this is malarkey.
I don't know.
Why you growl like that, bro?
Because that's watching this year's Super Bowl game because I'm not standing for it.
But they also have a weird comment, you know, on their Facebook page about Usher's halftime show.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
What were they mad about on that?
Why didn't he bring out Justin Bieber? He could have put something in there for us too.
I'm just saying, there's subtleties around.
I don't know
all
why I did
stuff,
that
right?
voice. Yeah.
But there's subtleties around it that a lot of white people just don't pick up on, and I think that's the element that T-Pain is kind of speaking on for all you guys that are.
When are we going to get a halftime show for us?
Yeah, it's like, well, exactly.
They could bring Foghat out there and do something.
Yeah, wow.
Seats taken.
Can't sit here.
Well, you got Jay-Z running sound, so to speak.
Jay-Z definitely running sound
on these Super Bowl performances. So you might have a while.
Who did it last year?
Rihanna.
Yeah.
And then before that, it was Dr. Dre.
Yeah, Dr. Dre.
So it was like, that's three in a row now.
Eminem.
That's still three in a row.
He doesn't count for them anymore.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just saying, we could have somebody out there.
Yep.
What about Keith Urban?
What about Billie Eilish? I've seen her. She seems nice.
Nah, I don't think they like Billie Eilish.
It'll be Miley Cyrus.
I really hope it's
it
not Miley Cyrus.
It would definitely be Miley.
You know, if you're going to keep shoving Taylor Swift down our throats, at least let her perform at the game.
Now that should be a boost on one of these betting apps to see if she performs next year at the Super Bowl. I'll take that bet.
Okay, that.
Oh, he's running sound, ain't he?
He's running sound.
Yeah, you're right.
But,
maybe it'll be Tracy Chapman.
I don't know. That doesn't quite. If she brings out that one feller I saw at the CMAs, I'd really like that. That seems like something I could get into.
We need a Chasey Trapman, Jelly Roll. T-Pain.
You know, we fool with Jelly
Beyonce,
Roll.
Country music set, yeah. Live at...
It'll be Taylor Swift, and the kicker will be that Beyonce will come out and do one of her songs, and it'll break the world.
The world would literally break. The internet would break if what he just said happened.
But I'm just saying, like, we could do...
It's going to be like We Are the World.
No.
That's actually a really good documentary.
It's going to be We Are the World for racism.
Yeah. Yes.
That's a really good documentary.
Did you see that documentary?
I have not yet, but I heard it's good.
Amazing.
It's very good, man. Yeah.
I'm just saying, we could have somebody out there that you know, that America could get behind.
Who would that be?
Me.
I'm just saying.
We could put Lone up there.
You know, I mean, it was
the
a lot
Kid
of...
Kid Rock can never get it.
Nah.
Kid Rock's already done it.
I know, but he'll never get... That's when he was on the other side of the coin.
Oh, well, yeah, that's when we thought he was...
He was on what?
When we thought he was our friend.
Yeah, if Jay-Z running sound, I know damn well Kid Rock ain't going to be in there.
He ain't getting it.
They said, Deion Sanders said Lil Wayne should do it.
I'm against that.
I don't know if Wayne is a Super Bowl halftime performer.
No,
he got the record.
He would have to have Drake and Nicki up there.
I'm sorry,
with
but
him
the dude who does the sex the delay button, he'd be working overtime.
Yeah,
that delay
he'd be
button
wore
would
out.
Catch on fire.
He'd be wore out. Lil Wayne would have to do all his hot boy stuff that didn't have cussing in it.
Maybe he can bring BG out.
I think the world would love that. Yeah.
Do a whole hot boy
at the
set?
Super Bowl. Yeah.
Do a hot boy set at the Super Bowl for halftime.
Make sure the Cowboys are playing that year too.
It have all the
really
same,
piss them off.
It have all the same white people that jumped out and started dancing Usher because it was their song.
Hey, shout out
the same thing.
I mean, he did have. Oh, he did. He's like, I gotta do OMG.
He had to do that.
Do that record.
Shout out to Jackson State though, because their band was out there. That was Jackson State University.
Let me ask you this question.
Go ahead.
We've talked, and this is one of the things that you always talk about, Mike, is 24-hour classics.
Yes.
People are donning this Usher performance as the greatest Super Bowl performance of all time.
What?
Is it too soon?
Yeah. The thing about it is his thing. He did his thing. I ain't gonna front. He did a whole lot of stuff. But we must not forget Michael Jackson.
And Prince in the Rain.
Prince in the Rain. When the Colts won the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Bruno Mars.
Bruno Mars was with Beyonce.
I thought he did one by himself.
It was so good it was two of them.
Yeah. Man, it was really good. That was a really good
performance. Bruno Mars killed. Well, if it was, I don't care who it was with. He's good. Bruno Mars, good.
He
can sing a little bit.
Not alone. 24. Yeah, this is definitely 24-hour classic syndrome. Come on, man.
I give it top five.
I don't even know if I.
The thing is, because when Rihanna did hers, we were like, thanks.
Don't think I really liked Rihanna's.
No, I'm saying like we didn't have this syndrome with that because we didn't. It wasn't that great.
It was cool.
She was pregnant. She couldn't really do a whole lot.
Well,
but if you had said that, then we would have been in trouble for that. Well, I just said it.
I think
so now we're about
we
to get in trouble.
Yeah. I don't know.
24-hour classic syndrome, Long. That's what this is.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's, also different times, too. You know, like this fast melody of everything. I mean, it's always kind of been a melody, but now it's like with a bazillion artists at the same time, too. Mm-hmm. But
he did his thing. He was up there skating.
This was the most watched. This is the most watched Super Bowl.
That's neat.
So.
Well, this is how quickly,
I didn't watch it.
How quickly things move. You know, at my establishment, by the time I had the video running, I was able to insert Usher's Super Bowl performance into the playlist because somebody had ripped it and put it on their own YouTube page.
Mm-hmm.
And they were
24 hours.
No, it wasn't even 24 hours.
No, I mean, until it gets taken down.
No, but you know, that's right. Because like they did that for Dre. And I put it up, and like I tried to go to that later, and they had their YouTube, right? The NFL put their version up. So you know, you can view it still, but it's just crazy how like people got on and got those views together real quickly.
Ain't getting no money.
No.
Might have beat the system a little bit.
Oh, you can get on there and catch a quick 500,000 views real quick, get a copyright strike, but you still get all that money for all that views.
That works.
You can still keep it?
If you are monetized, yep.
Ah.
Yeah. But so, they can take your channel from you because you get a strike.
Yeah, but you need three strikes. Mm. So if you got a couple open and you know, just throw
so
it
So you
can
just
there.
Take an L, get soak up that 500, cash out, and then just have two strikes.
There are people who do it with some of ESPN's content.
Yeah.
Because they'll post.
They're
like,
probably not monetized, though.
Who, BSPN?
No, I'm saying like, so you have to have a chance. Let me rephrase this as well really quick before you jump in.
Okay.
You also have to have, to be monetized, you have to have a channel that is also consistently your own stuff.
Okay.
So like you can't have an entire channel of rips and get a bunch of followers and get monetized. No, they won't monetize you.
So they only monetize you off of your original content.
Your original content. So if you have original content, then yes, you can get monetized. And then if you upload a video and then it's removed, you still get paid for that.
Got it.
But you can't just have like an entire channel of like ripping people's content and then they're not gonna monetize.
I'm not gonna hold you. Sometimes when I'm at work, if I wanna listen to First Take or I mean like Stephen A and Shannon or whatever. There's sites that have the full rips mm-hmm. on YouTube, but now I'm thinking about what you just said. So they just rip those every day and they're not getting monetized. It's all that information. It's all rips.
No, they have. No, I've seen those. I've seen those channels.
You know what I'm talking about?
But then this is the funny thing about, because that's how I watch Pardon the Interruption every day.
Yeah.
Is I look up and then it'll say, okay, just rip like 3 hours ago. So I'll be like, okay, that's the one from today. And then at the very end, and they'll cut out the commercials and everything. It's very, very nice of them. But at the end, it'll be like, you know, an Asian woman doing origami.
Yes.
And I'm like, is this something that they're doing to get around this? You know, I don't know what the science is behind.
I've seen the same putting thing.
Your content directly after you've, some ESPN content.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was doing that too for a while. I was trying to figure it out, trying to figure out the system. I mean, I studied the content ID system for about a year. You guys know that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was trying a whole lot of things and to a degree, if you have stuff that is registered as has its own content ID,
mm-hmm.
if you have 500,000 people that tune in to watch Pardon the Interruption, well, if you have a content ID for this Asian cooking thing, origami thing over here, there's two content IDs on there. So even if this over here gets monetized by the original copyright holder, mm-hmm. which would be Pardon the Interruption or whatever, mm-hmm. there's another copyright on there for whoever this is. So every ad pays two things, not one.
Late dropping game on y'all right now.
Got it. I'm just saying.
But YouTube cracks down on it.
They're consistently changing their rules.
And if you have like, I did it with like, I was doing it with just my own music. So I would have like one of my songs out and I would just take one of my songs that has content ID and I would put it under a video or something and it would just grab the content ID.
Yeah.
So I would get content ID on top of, and the thing is I wouldn't do it on like something like that. It would be something to where like it was edited a lot and it like picked up. For example, like if I was redoing scores.
Mm-hmm.
So if I redid the score for In Bruges for the intro part, the Paramount or whoever is going to take all that money for my score because they have the visual copyright for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would put my music at the end of it so that I could at least split the money with it because it's literally my score underneath it.
That's okay.
But at the same time, they crack down on that stuff too, which kind of sucks.
I've seen a lot of people just take a video, and I guess at one point this was working, and flip it.
Yeah, that doesn't really work.
And so, like, that doesn't
algorithms
work
are way too good now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the boomerang thing that I did. I had the lines, and I had it distorted, I even flipped it backwards. Nope.
I'm going to have to watch.
Caught the whole thing.
I'm going to have to.
As soon as the movie came on, it's like, nope.
It just blocked the entire thing. Mm-hmm. It was like found copyright content from minute like 1 to 15 and it was only 15 minutes long. So, mm-hmm.
No, because I still get the notifications.
Smart.
We were doing Take That Tuesday online and we would try to put some of it on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I'm still getting like part of this may be muted and it gives you a detailed breakdown of what's
every country. Yep. And it says
that's what it does for Instagram.
Yeah.
But for Facebook, it tells during Metronome's mix, it'll say what he was playing and for how long.
Doing that.
And I was like, wow.
That's why we actually on our YouTube channel, when Mike went live, when he was doing his thing, mm-hmm. we got a community guideline strike because of a video that was just looping in the background.
Mm-hmm.
We can't even get rid of that. Actually, that warning, which kind of sucks, but yeah. Picks it up on live too. Like it'll pick it up live. Like if we have a bunch of music playing in this live stream on Twitch, when it's over, it will literally break
get
down.
Get rid of it.
Yeah, it'll block it, or it'll just say, "Hey, you got this music in there."
And what's crazy is
YouTube will. The difference between YouTube and Twitch. YouTube will literally turn your stream off. Twitch won't.
Same thing with like Facebook.
Twitch won't. Twitch will keep it on, but then it'll block it afterwards. Yeah. Which
no,
is
like it used to be like, hey, you could watch it, you know, take that Tuesday, the
TikTok's
next day.
The same way.
And once they realized people weren't using it for video game content anymore, it was DJs.
Yeah.
Like, I guess the record companies got involved, and if we didn't download it immediately,
yeah, it
like,
was going to be gone.
It was, you know, and it would be, as soon as the show was over, they would have sections, complete sections muted out.
Yeah, so you have to do what we're doing. You have to, so we're literally recording.
Yeah.
So you have to record it as you're doing it, and then you have the copy.
And when people started DJing on Instagram, this is the wild thing. There were certain songs we were like, oh, maybe we should stay away from Prince and Michael Jackson and Beyonce. I remember one night Nick played, I'll never forget, it was Pat Benatar's Love is a Battlefield, and it turned his Instagram off.
Oh yeah.
And he couldn't get back on. Like, and I tried to go and like, I don't know, because we both had both of ours on at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like mine is a backup. Nope. Like,
yeah, I would have mine for Facebook and Instagram and just watching both phones.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I remember Facebook would start shaking. The video would shake when it was about to go off.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
for
real?
It'd just be gone. And then you have to get back on there and do it again.
The best places to live stream are Twitch and TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
TikTok does the same thing Twitch does. I literally was watching the end of the football game just because I was scrolling on TikTok and it was like, oh, overtime.
And you can see it clear?
I just watched the game. Yeah, somebody was live streaming it. So I just watched the live stream.
I want to get this. I want to get one more topic in if we can, Lone. And this is in relation to a comment that Cardi B made about, he's talking about basically
balls.
talking about how hip hop is quote unquote stuck in a rut. You know, we've had that conversation.
What's the title to that joint?
What's this one?
Herbie says hip hop isn't stuck in a rut. Fans just have buyer's remorse.
So she says, people are saying this, I'm reading the quote. She says, people keep saying like, oh, the state of hip hop is bad right now, blah, 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 blah. She said, I don't think it's bad right now. I just think people don't know what they want. And then she's basically, she also pointed out the impact of social media and its influence on musical tastes of creators and consumers. So that got me to thinking, when we talk about the fans drive this and the fans drive that, is it the traditional fan? Who's more powerful? Is it the traditional fan or is it the influencers, the Instagram, I don't want to say models, but you know what I mean when I say the influencers, the people that are on Twitter, the people that are on Instagram. Who has the power now? Is there an influence from
everybody.
Those influencers? It's everybody.
It's algorithms, man.
So it's the algorithms.
Algorithms have the power.
So they've replaced the power that we would naturally, our tendency would be the fans. The fans drive this. The fans drive that. So now it's more of the algorithms.
No,
and more
it's the fans and the algorithms.
Oh, the fans and the algorithms.
It's the fans and the artists playing the algorithms because the algorithms push. The algorithms do not promote creativity. The algorithms promote.
What's paid for?
It promotes. There used to be a time like on, let's say, YouTube, where if you were super creative, YouTube would push that content.
Mm.
Nowadays, on every platform, it's just like, all right, you have to follow within these guidelines of the algorithm to get good. And so if you step outside of whatever that algorithm is, you don't get pushed. So everybody knows what to make and what to create in that aspect. And so the content creators also know what hashtags to use and what people to talk about, which is going to then again push things to the top. If you have an entire content built around, I don't know, strictly underground music or strictly music you like, but they don't have big names, it's not going to reach more people. So people aren't going to do it. That's why I say it's the algorithms.
The algorithm.
So it is the algorithm. I think that's the root of it all. But at the end of the day, yeah, I mean, the fans are still.
I mean, the people are kind of responsible for how the algorithm works.
No, they're not, though.
They are not. To a certain extent, because when we're talking about what songs are very popular and what they're doing dances off of and what's catching on to people, these are people that are sitting back making these dances and these routines off of these songs.
But why are they driving the algorithm? They're choosing those songs because that's what the algorithm will drive for their content.
Mm.
That's my argument, at least, is that they're doing it because they know that if I do a dance to this video, I can piggyback off of this thing that's already popping. They're not going to do a dance to something that I do. You know,
sometimes it doesn't. Well, sometimes it doesn't work like that, because it's like somebody makes this very creative dance, and then everybody sees it and they just want to do it too.
I'm not even talking about the
dance. It's kind of like how the Jid song became super popular. Mm-hmm. The song that he did is a remix of Miss Fat Booty at the end of the day.
Right.
And somebody decided to hang a camera on a ceiling in twerk, essentially. Mm-hmm. That's what caught on and made that song very popular. So it may be the algorithm, and I don't think it isn't, but it also has something to do with the person or the people on social media as well, because they're the ones that are boosting it even further.
Yeah, I think it's knowing how to play that algorithm in that aspect. I do think that the fans or the people doing that has a potential part of it. But in general, I think the root cause of the way everything is moving right now is because we have it's just like we used to talk about how Indiana, we have very much people don't like things until other people like it.
Oh, yeah.
That is the entire culture of what these algorithms are pushing right now. If you happen to do a dance and all of a sudden it pops off, then a bazillion other people are going to do it as well. But it's like catching a fart in a bottle. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's what it is.
I was hoping you was going to say lightning.
But, you know, it'd be harder to catch a fart for real. Catching lightning is easy.
You catch a fart pretty easy.
Remember, Terry said.
Depends on. That's right.
Because Ice Spice. He knows all about catching farts.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. So anyway, but I mean, just like recently,
lightning.
Cheryl Lynn, with her song Encore, started just...
it's huge in Baltimore.
It became new again.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes it's just...
song is this?
Encore by Cheryl Lynn.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's huge for the Ravens. They
footwork to it.
Yeah. And, but you know, sometimes... And this is less about the algorithm than it is with playlists and what, you know, when people push the button. But I remember when I told you when the Lil Nas X song hit, what was that, a month or so ago?
About a month.
And how when I turned on, you know, our music service, I'm not giving anybody any love. Service in my establishment that plays the top hits, if you will.
And 40 of them.
Yeah. And so like, but you know, there's always things that they make a priority of when they come out. And that Friday and Saturday, I hit, it's not random, because that song was the first song that played on both of those nights.
Yeah.
But
you paid for that.
But also, you know, and they tried to, okay, we'll get this into the algorithm, but if the people don't want it.
Yeah, they gonna reject it.
You know, so the people didn't want that song. So you could put it at the top of these lists, and you can try to do some things that are provocative to get people talking. But when they essentially don't want it, they don't want it. Mm-hmm. The people are only going, you know, and it still speaks to both of your points. To where if the people don't want it, you can try to make a dance. You can try to put it at the top of these playlists, and you can get a provocative visual. But if it doesn't slap in somebody's circle, then okay, you did all that, and that's great. But it's like on to the next one. Just like when it was time for when that Cardi and Meg song, you know, just taking it out of the realm, because when we picking on the gay cowboy, we want to, you know, we'll just pick on women now, I guess. when that bongo song didn't hit, it was on to the next one. And whatever, when they thought that was going to blow up, and it's probably push Cardi B's album back again, because she needs to catch one before we can get excited about her music again, even though
that's probably why she's upset right now.
Because, you know, here it is, almost 7 years later from her debut. It's like people know her from her music because she's had songs that were huge, but it's almost getting to the point where Cardi B is a personality and a celebrity before she's an artist.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because she won a Grammy and then hadn't put out a record since.
The thing is,
somebody else did that. Her name is Lauryn Hill.
Well, but this is the wild thing. This is where Cardi's in a weird bag, because she's had some incredible success with features. But then, of course, you know, WAP and Up were two number one Billboard songs and weren't on any album. It's almost like she never went anywhere despite the fact that she hasn't put out an album in 6 or 7 years. It's a real unique case.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm just bringing it because that's what she was. Yep. That would take it back to maybe what she's trying to talk about.
Yeah.
In relation to her music.
So what y'all are telling me is the fan is still important. It looks different in 2024 how things are, you know,
I think the button pushing. I don't want to say it matters less, but it matters in a different type of way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to some degree, I do think that they're, because if one song doesn't work, you can just push the button on another song.
You can.
You know what I mean? And then see if that works.
Still might not work.
True.
Still might not
work. But I think even the biggest artists, they only get so many button pushes before they're like, we're shelving this entire project.
For sure. Because
they're over budget now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure. But at the same time, everything's being played off the algorithm. So
yeah.
Honestly, I don't even remember what the original comment was about.
Well, it was just, she said that, you know, people talk about how people keep saying that the state of hip hop is bad right now, blah, 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 blah. She said, I don't think it's bad right now. I just feel like people just don't know what they want. And then in the second section, it says another factor she pointed out was the impact of social media and its influence on the musical tastes of creators and consumers alike.
And the thing about that is social media pretty much spearheaded her career, though.
She says, I feel like social media is running too much. So I feel like just keep doing you what people got to say.
It's just not working in her favor now.
So she's, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
you see what I'm saying?
She's essentially talking about the algorithm.
Okay.
I mean, that's essentially what she's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
make adjustments.
Fans don't know what they want because social media makes it too complicated to know what they want. That's pretty much the algorithm.
Yeah, that's the algorithm, yeah. I mean, yeah.
But, I mean, it's.
I mean,
that's, I knew you would. I knew the algorithm was going to come up because I know you study that stuff. Like, I know that show.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, with
she
everything.
She doesn't have another WAP. That's all it is.
True. Is that what basically boiled out to?
If she had another WAP or she had a new one right now that. Let's just keep it real. If she had something that could compete right now with these Sexy Red records,
mm-hmm. Oh man,
then she wouldn't be.
Are they still going
on? That bar is
yes.
Low.
Really?
Very.
That's a low bar.
But right now, when
Cardi make way better music than that.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, well, right
so
now,
did, so did Nicki Minaj. Nicki didn't win nothing.
Well, yeah, you got me.
I hate
yeah.
to see what the Grammys look like next year with the success of Sexy Red.
She gonna get nominated.
Oh no,
be upset.
They didn't nominate. Like she was in that window, and they didn't nominate her for anything.
Oh, good. She shouldn't have been
honestly,
nominated.
No.
We made it.
We made it, man.
Yeah. No, we don't. I'm sorry. I just in general, no.
Hey y'all, I felt alone on that good though. I swear I
yeah,
did.
No, I
felt
alone on that good. See her on the red carpet.
You can't give Killer Mike the Grammy 1 year and then nominate Sexy Red the next year for the butthole.
They'll
you
do
can't
it.
Do that.
They'll do it.
Next year, Fart will be nominated.
Yeah, probably will.
Yeah.
That's a real thing, isn't it?
It is. But
she's going to shake her ass in the deli.
So I was the person that said, I actually said on the show, I said, she is maximizing that 15 minutes.
We don't have
minutes.
To talk about her no more.
All right, well.
Yeah. Yeah
it's past 15. That's
shouts
all I'm
going to say. I say shouts to Sky Zoo. I think he started
his own first generation rich.
First generation rich music label. That's kind of cool.
He's going to start rolling. He said he's going to, I think, roll out an artist every two.
His first one's a poet.
Yeah. I saw that.
Jay Rose.
Yeah.
But good for him.
Yeah, that's dope.
I think he'd do a good job of curating. So
it shows how long we've been involved with or around music because Sky Zoo's a person that we've seen his entire career. Mm-hmm. All the way Illmind and Knife mm-hmm. One, all the way up to now. And now that he's getting his own situation and, you know, helping others, I think that's dope. That's what it's about. Each one teach one when you get in that position. And like, I agree with you 100% long. He definitely will be a good curator of talent.
Got a good ear.
Yeah. All right. Is there anything else you gentlemen would like to say prior to us?
Keep your money in your pocket this weekend.
All right.
That $40 ain't going to get you very far.
Not far at all. Yeah. Might get you parking.
Good luck with that. You better Uber or Lyft, and you better have some surge money. No, but everyone, please be safe as you come to Indianapolis, or if you already are in Indianapolis for All-Star Weekend, keep your wits about you,
don't
spend
y'all.
Money you don't have.
Yeah.
And
try to impress people you don't know who don't care anything about you.
And when you go to the club, Dante can't let you in.
Yeah.
All right.
Fonte might be able to.
I see what you did there. Dante's not letting you in. I don't care if you saw him yesterday.
But if you do have some extra money, you can support the New Old Heads Patreon.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
So do that.
We so would
and
appreciate
it. And you could get the uncut version of the show, which is very interesting.
Yeah, that's what we had some fun. Good version. Shout out to the chat. If you're still in there, we appreciate you. If you're lurking, we appreciate you as well. NewAutoHits.com for all the education you need this year. If you see it, like it, subscribe, share, ring the bell, pass it along.
Give us a positive vote on like that Spotify app or that iTunes app if you're listening.
Yes, we need those reviews, so run the reviews up. 5 stars, we appreciate that support as well.
Anything less, you just hating.
Those reviews are very important, y'all. So if you get a chance, just get your boys a paragraph or so and get some stars up there. We really would appreciate that. All right, we'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Yeah.
Bye.